Okay, Daf Lamed Hey. Well, the sugya here, Ravuna had said a halacha that Mashbina say Shvua Sheina Brashusa. Anytime, even if the person is moida that he's going to pay for the chefetz, he says someone was a mafkeret a shamer, and the shamer said doesn't bother saying whether it was stolen, not stolen, doesn't get into any of that. He just said I'm willing to pay. He says Ravuna halacha that Chazal were chayshish that maybe he was trying to take the chefetz and really he's not trying to steal it. He's willing to pay for it, but he really likes this item, this book or whatever it is, and therefore he's keeping it. And he's going to pay for it. And he justifies that in his head. So Ravuna said, we make him make a shvua that he absolutely does not have the chefetz in his hands. Either got lost or destroyed. He doesn't even have to say where it is. He just has to say he does not have it. And on that, the Gemara asked the Kasha, because we brought a brisa, when we have a discussion between a loiva and a malva. And normally, the malva is the toin from the loiva. The loiva owes the malva money. But you could have a situation where it's reverse. If the malva had taken a mashkin, and now the loiva wants his mashkin back as well. And they can get into a fight over how much the mashkin is worth. So the Gemara brought a brisa, and it brought four cases. In one case, the loiva was the toin, and the malva was the toin as a regular case. And the next two cases, the loiva was the toin. He was claiming the mashkin was worth more money than the loan was worth. And in both these situations, you could have a case of kofar kol, or you can have a case of moed v'miktas. We know the case of kofar kol. If someone asks you for money and you say you don't know anything, you don't have to make a shua. If someone asks you for money and you are moed to half, to a partial, what we call moed v'miktas, then you do have to make a shua. And the price is said in all these cases, you could have the loiva being a kofar kol, or the loiva being a moed v'miktas, or you could have the malva being a kofar kol, or the malva being a moed v'miktas. And on that, we got to the question on Ravuna. It says the one on the bottom. Last word, whatever, of Lamadalamabes. The Misal of Ravuna, according to Ravuna's halacha, that you're going to have to go ahead and make a shua. You make the malva make a shua in this case. The Gemara brought that at the end of the Brisa, it said an interesting halacha. The end of the Brisa, it said that in a situation, it didn't say which, in a situation, which normally we would have assumed is going on, the case where the malva is. Is the Maidra Mixas. We're going to flip the Shvua onto the Malva. Why? Because what are we arguing about? We're arguing about, in this case, how much the Mashkin is worth. If the Malva actually has the Mashkin, the Leiva is going to swear how much the Mashkin is worth, and then the Malva will pull it out and say, hey, I actually have it. Let's go to Bezin. You'll see it's not what you said it's worth. And it turns out the loiva is going to be caught in a red-faced lie. We don't want to have a situation, we don't want people to be making a shvua in a situation where it's very easy to catch them in a lie like that, and then they'll be puzzled for Eidus, etc. So the Brisa said we flip the shvua back onto the malva. It says, according to Ravuna, that the malva just swore that he doesn't have the item at all. So what are you worried about? What are you worried that the loiva is going to make a shvua how much it's worth, and then the malva is going to pull it out? The malva just made a shvua, he doesn't have it. If he made a shvua, he doesn't have it. There's no chashash that he's going to pull it out, and we're going to catch the loiva in a lie. So what is the brisa talking about? It says, how could he now pull out the item if he already sweared? It seems to be a raya, not like a funa, that you don't have to make such a shvua. Amar Rava. So Rava said, or some gears to have Amar Rava, Amar Yosef, sheish edim shenisrafa. We're talking about a case where the malva does not have to make the shvua or a funa because there's edim. There's edim that the chefetz was burned. If there's anything, the chefetz was burned, then we obviously are not going to be mechayev the malva to make Rav Huna shvua. There's no reason to worry about it. We know for sure it's gone. So miyachim eichim aisel. That doesn't solve the problem because the whole chashash was the loiva is going to swear how much it's worth, and the malva is going to pull it out. And we said, how could that be? Because the malva made a shvua. Well, if it's burned to the ground, the book is burned. Then obviously the malva is not going to be able to pull it out either. So again, why would you make the shvua? Why would you flip the shvua from the loiva to the malva? No, not that it was burned, but there's Edom that it was stolen. So once we have Edom that it was stolen from the Malva does not have to make Rav Huna Shvua, but we're still afraid if the Leva makes the Shvua, that the Malva will pull it out. So what do you mean? So how is the Malva going to have it if we know it was stolen? How is the Malva going to pull it out and prove the Leva wrong? Because maybe he'll call some investigators, he'll check his video cameras, he'll find out who has it, who stole it from him, he knows who's coming in and out of his house, he'll find out who stole it from him, and he'll pull it out, just to prove all that work, just to prove the loiva wrong and how much it's worth. So that doesn't solve the problem. If right now this mashkin is not in the hands of the malva or in the hands of the loiva, so what are you going to say? I don't want the Leva to swear how much it's worth because we can easily prove him wrong. Instead, we'll flip that Shvua to the Malva. Make the Malva make the Shvua. Okay, so the Malva will make a Shvua what it's worth. The Leva will do the investigation. He'll find the Gadif and he'll come prove the Malva wrong and how much it's worth. If one of them has it over the other one, we say obviously it wouldn't. But if it's in a third party's hands, then maybe the Levi can get it just as much as the Malvik can get it. The Malva has a better chance to catch the Ganif because he knows who's coming in and out of his house, and therefore we're afraid he'll catch the Ganif and bring the Chavitz to prove the Leiva wrong. The Malva, the Leiva has absolutely no idea who is going in and out of the house of the Malva. Then we have no chashash that the Leiva is going to be able to prove the Malva wrong, and therefore you're right. Ravuna's halacha says anytime you agree to pay for a Chavitz you're watching, you have to make a shvua. However, if we have edim that the chefetz is not by you, you don't have to make that shvua. But in that situation, like the Bryce said, we flip the mitzvah makes a shvua from the leiva to the malva if we're dealing with the value of the mashk. Abaya, Abaya says another way to reconcile Rav Huna with the Brisa. Gezerah Shem Yitter and V'yomer Loi were afraid. Yes, he made the Malva made a Shvua, he doesn't have it. But theoretically, the Malva could come later and say, V'yomer Loi, Achar Shvua Mitzasiya. Yes, when I made the Shvua, then I didn't have it like Rav Huna made me do it. I was telling the truth. I didn't have it. I found it later. Really, could be he was lying, could be he's not, who knows. But he could taina that he found it later, and now he's going to be able to prove the Leiva wrong and how much it's worth. So we flip that Shvua back onto the Malva. But we're not worried about the other way, because we assume that really, that even though he made a Shvua, the Malva knows where it is and the Malva's going to have. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, you totally misunderstood the Braisa. When the Braisa said at the end that what we understood to mean, we flip the Shvua from the Leiva to the Malva, that's not what the Braisa meant at all. Ravashi, Amar, Zed Nishba, Vezed Nishba. No. Really, the Leiva makes the Meidva Mikza Shvua, and the Malva makes Ravuna Shvua, Zed Sheinu Biyadei. Zed Nishba, Sheinu Bereshusai, the Malva, Vezed, and the Leiva makes the Shvua, Kama Yeshava. Oh, what did the Braisa mean when it was mashma? You flip it? V'achikamer. Mi nishba tchila. The Braisa was just questioning who makes the Shvua first. Which Shvua should we make first? So malva nishba tchila, we always make the malva make the Shvua first. Shema yishba zeh v'yetzel es bikarin. Because we want to verify that the malva doesn't have the chefetz before we make the leiva swear how much it's worth. So the Braisa wasn't saying we don't make the leiva make the Shvua. Fuch. The Braisa was just saying when the leiva is a meidva mikzas is going to have to make a Shvua and how much the mashkin's worth, first, we make the Malva make his Shvua, not the Shvua that the Leiva was making. The Malva, Dafka makes the Shvua that Rav Huna said, that he doesn't have it. Once we know he doesn't have it, now we can comfortably tell the Leiva to make his Shvua, because we're not afraid the Malva is going to prove him wrong. So therefore, Rav Huna's halacha, that you have to make the Malva make his Shvua, does not seem to be contradictory to this Brice. So we're not so fast. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa Mishmei D'Rav Amar, Reisha D'Seifet to D'Yoftor Rav Huna. Okay, so it's not Akasha from the case that you brought of the Leiva and flipping the Shvua onto the Malva, but there's another case. There's a case where the Leiva and the Malva, and we said the Malva in that case, is a Kofer HaKol, the Reisha of the Seifa. So in the case where the Leiva claims that the Mashkin was worth much more than the loan, the Malva says, no, it was worth only exactly what the loan was worth, in which case the Malva, we said, is a Kofer HaKol, it's Kofer HaKol. He does not make a shvua. Says the Gemara, Reisha the Sefer Tiyufta Levuna. Why? Selavi Sini Lov, Shtaimo Yeshova. The Leiva says the Mashka was worth double the loan. Valo Yamar Loki Yele Selavi Sini Lov, Selavi Yeshova. And the Malva says, no, the Mashka was worth exactly what the loan was, and if I don't owe you anything, he's a careful call, he's potter. Now wait a second. Then Isav Levuna, according to Levuna in that case, the Malva Lamaisa is claiming he doesn't have the Mashka. Which case we're going to make the Malva make a shvua that he doesn't have the mashkin. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, migud the mishtalva Malva sheni bereshusoi. Once we make the Malva make a shvua that he doesn't have it, the shtaba nami a gilgul shvua kam hayeshav. We have a lacha called gilgul shvua. Gilgul shvua says if two people are having a fight, the machleik is a cheshem mishpat, and one of them has to make a shvua on some aspect of the case. Once you have to make a shvua on some aspect of the case, even the raisa the rabbanon sometimes, we can then make you make other shvuas. Built into that's called Gilgul Shvua. We have a Galgul one Shvua onto the other. So once you tell me that according to Rav Huna, the Malva has to make a Shvua that he doesn't have the Chefetz, then we can also make him make a Shvua how much the Chefetz is worth, even though he was a Karfar Kol. The Brisa clearly says in a case where he's a Karfar Kol, he doesn't have to make a Shvua at all. According to Rav Huna, once you make the Shvua Shedib or Shusai, we should be able to be Megalgil a second Shvua onto you. And the Brisa doesn't say that. So Kasha and Rav Huna.
It's a shua.
What do you mean?
No, because the whole koifa
call doesn't make shua. Doesn't matter. Halakha by Gilgul shua is the mafarshim say even if you have a migo on the second shua, could be even if you have edim, doesn't matter. You're not mechuyev the shua, and the Torah says you have to make it anyways. In all situations, you have to make that shua. Even by a case of koifa call. So what's pshat? Amar Vashi Amisa Shmaitzik Meidrav Kahana. The Amarli he says you're right. there is a concept here of Gilgal Shvuah. Tehei b'maminoi. We're talking about a case specifically where the Leiva says to the Malva, I trust you don't have it. The Shvuah that the Malva has to make, or Ravuna, that he doesn't have the Chefetz, if the Leiva trusts him, he doesn't have to make that Shvuah. So you're right. In a case where the Leiva does not trust him, and the Leiva is chayshish that he's hiding it, and he makes him make Ravuna Shvuah, then he can be Magalgal a second Shvuah. But our case, where the Brisa said he's a Kar for Kol, there's no Shvuah, it's talking about where he does not press charges on that point, and therefore he trusts him, and he doesn't make him make the Shvuah. Tebe Mamina. So the Moses, if that's the case, Nehemni Leiva LaMalva Nami Kamehav Yeshava. If the Leiva trusts the Malva and he thinks he's a trustworthy guy and he's not hiding the Chefetz, so the Leiva should trust the Malva also on how much the Mashkin was worth. Says Mon, like him, the Leiva thinks that the Malva, it's not that the Malva is trying to cheat him, the Malva just doesn't actually know how much the Mashkin is worth. Remember, the Mashkin belonged to the Leiva. The Malva just took it and put it away somewhere. Lav Dafka, does the Malva actually know how much the Mashkin is worth? And therefore, the Leiva says, you're a trustworthy guy, I don't think you're cheating me, but I do think you might have made a mistake. And therefore, they still have this issue. It says more than the opposite, though. But Nehemne Malva Leleiva. If you tell me the Leiva is trusting the Malva, then he doesn't have the Chefetz. So that means they're friends. If they're friends, then the Malva should trust the Leiva how much the Mashkin's worth. The Mashkin belonged to the Leiva. He should just trust him. They should have no more fight over here. But the fact that they don't, you see, they're not such friends. But Nehemne Malva Leleiva, the Kimle Begave. Says Malva Mehemle. No. Even though the Leiva trusts the Malva does not trust the Leiva. It says Mamaishna. Why? If they're friends and they trust each other, they trust each other. Why would you assume that the Leiva trusts the Malva and the Malva does not trust the Leiva? Moses is very interesting. It says, Leiva mekayim b'malva, the pasuk in Mishra, says, Tumas yishorim tanchem. That the tmilus stick, the tam, the lashon tumas, not lashon of misa, tumas lashon tam, that someone who's straight, tanchem, he's going to be matzliach. And therefore the Leiva says, if this Malva is so rich and he's lending me money, must be he's an erlich guy. Must be he's a trustworthy guy and I trust him. Whereas Malva, Mekayim Bebe Leiva, the Malva assumes by the Leiva, the end of the Pasuk, V'selef boigdim yishodem, that if someone is poor, it must be because he cheated and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him. So all rich people are tzaddikim and all poor people are rishayim. I don't know, whatever. That's what the Pasuk says, and that's how we can justify the point over here that the Leiva trusts the Malva and the Malva does not necessarily trust the Leiva. Says the story. Who gave the ifkid kipi gabi chavre? He gave his friend some jewelry to watch. Amale havli kipi. At the end, whatever it was, the tekufa of the shmira, he said, give me back my jewelry. Amale leyadan heichasveno. I forgot where I put them. Sorry. So also commander of Nachman, they went to the Bezdin, and Amale kol yeladana. If you don't know, peshiusi. But I don't care if you're a shemachinim, shemesachar. You're a pesheya. If you don't know where you put them, and you have to pay zil shlim, go pay for the earrings. Lo yishalem. He refused to pay. Azar of Nachman agbe la panda mineir. Nachman pressed on him in Bezdin, and he forcibly took away an apanda. Panda is what we call a traklin, some kind of fancy room or fancy hut of some sort. He did some collection. He collected some karka, and he gave it to the balabais. La panda mineir. Lesoif ishtakach kipi. At the end, the guy pulled out the kipi. Oh, I found them. I had them. I can give them back to you. And the ikor, they actually went up in price now. They're actually worth more now than they were before. So let's say the jewelry is worth 100 shekel, and he collected 100 shekel of karka to give to the balakipi because the shemer lost his stuff. Now, when he found them, they're actually worth more. Okay, so Amar of Nachman, 100 kipi lamari, 100 panda lamari. All right, well, if you found them, especially now because they're worth more, everybody gets back their original thing. You take back your jewelry, and you, and the balabais, the balakipi who took the apanda, give the apanda back to the shem. You're running back what it was. That's what Rav Nachman Paskin. Amar Rava, Yasvina Kamedar of Nachman. We were learning by Rav Nachman in Beis Medrash. But Pirkan Amafkin Havi, we were learning this stuff. We were mamash learning the halacha of the Pirkan Amafkin. The Amrile, and I asked Rav Nachman, I don't understand this psak halacha. Shilei Melei Latsuli Shava. Our Mishnah says that if the person pays, he agrees to pay, when he pays, and then you catch the ganif, who gets the kefil? The Mishnah clearly said, the shomer gets to keep the kefil. It's like we said, it's like he owns the chefetz from the beginning, and therefore once he pays for the chefetz to the balabais, and they catch the ganif, the kefil goes to the shomer. So if that's the case over here, why are you saying that he has to give back the kipi, and he gets back his apanda, kipi went up in price, he wants to keep it. Now Tosis points out, we already said yesterday, that you only keep any type of thing that went up in value that was not gizas and vlodas. We said gizas and vlodas, which are part of the animal, that the original owner does want to keep. Taisi says, we must consider this ayaka, the fact that they're up in price, like me alma. That's not considered part of the chefetz, because it's not like the chefetz got big. It's not like the item got bigger. It just got more value based on outside factors, so that's considered me alma. Okay, Taisi says, just before that point. So, Frak to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. Just like in our case, the Shemir gets the kefil. Over here, the Shemir should get to keep the kipi. Why are you giving it all back? V'loya hadali. Rav Nachman did not respond. V'shaper v'loya hadali. And Rav said, I understood from him not responding to me that he was ignoring my question because it was a klutz kasha. And at the end of the day, I thought about it and I realized Rav Nachman's right. It was a klutz kasha. Why? My time. When in our Mishnah, when he volunteers to pay, then the guy says, I'm makni the kefil. But in our case, he didn't volunteer to pay. Rav Nachman had to force him to pay. When Rav Nachman had to force him to pay, then we don't say the halacha that it's also nikneh and the Baal Bais really wanted to give it to him and then if it goes up and down. No. In this case, it all goes back. It says the Gemara. Lememra, but now we have another issue though. The Savar of Nachman, the Shuma Hadar. We had this question before. When Bezdin forces someone to pay back a loan, or in this case, pay back the money he owned for the kipi, and takes away someone's karka and gives it to the Baal Bais, if the later on the person gets cash, can he buy it back or not? If he wants to sell it back, of course he can sell it back. But can Bezdin force him to give it back? Rav Nachman over here was saying yes, he forced them to give it back. So that's a debatable issue. Lamema the Shuma Hadar, that even though Bezdin took it away, we can force you to give it back when the guy gets together with the money. The whole thing was a mistake to begin with. It's not the pshat, he didn't have cash, and now he got cash, and we can debate. No. The whole thing was a farce. The Kohavi Kipi Meikari, he had the Kipi. He had to keep it the whole time. He was just lying and cheating. And therefore, of course, this was never a deal in the first place. If it was never a deal in the first place, then there's no question we take it all back. And we make him give back the chefetz, so we give back the kipi, which are obviously worth more now, so the bala kipi wants them, and he gives back the apan. Amar nardar, though. Shuma hadar atresi achishasa. In general, in a regular case of shuma, when you were supposed to pay back a loan and you didn't, and Bezdin took away from you karka, you have 12 months to come up with the cash. Even after Bezdin took away your karka, within 12 months, if you get the cash, you can get your field back. We say it's even more than 12 months. Forever. Whenever you have something taken away because you owe money, within 12 months or forever, if you get cash, you can get your chefetz back. Why? As Tyson explained, it's not really a Mi'ikar Adin. Mi'ikar Adin, we consider it when Bezdin gives you the karka, it's a sale. And it's not chayzer, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second. But there's a halacha called vasisa yosher v'atoyev, the pasuk says, and you should be nice, and go lifnim mishuras hadin, and if the person comes up with the money and wants to buy back his field, you let him do it. But mi'ikar hadin, you don't have to do this at all. Says the Gemara, pshita, somalei lebal chayv. So let's say Reuven and Shimon, okay? So Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and he doesn't have what to pay back. And they take away Reuven's field, and they give it to Shimon. Toch kadei, Shimon owed money to Levi. So now they took this field that Shimon got from Reuven, and they give that field to Levi. Okay, so they give it all to Levi. And now Reuven gets the cash. And he goes back to Shimon, he says, I have the cash, I want to be Shuma Hadar, I want to get back my field. Shimon says, I'm sorry, I already used your field to pay back my loan to Levi. Says Gemara, he can take it back all from Levi also. Because everybody over here is a Baal Chayv. And when it comes to a Baal Chayv, we say, Vasisha Yashav Atoyv. And therefore, just like Reuven can take the field back from Shimon, since Shimon and Levi is also a relationship of a Baal Chayv, the field goes back, Shimon takes the money he got from Reuven, goes to Levi, gives him the money, the field goes back from Levi to Shimon, from Shimon back to Reuven. That's it. Zovna, what if Shimon took the field from Reuven and then sold it to somebody else? Or Orta, Shimon died and gave it to his Yorshim. Or Yav Matana, Shimon gave it as a present to somebody. Then Vade, Hani Meikara, died to Daranoth. Those people who received the present or those people who bought the field from Shimon, they assume they're buying a field. They have no responsibility to Reuven and his ability to come collect the field back. If Alava died to the Zuzachas, they don't want cash, they want the field. If they don't want cash to the field, they do not have to give the field back to Shimon to give it back to Reuven. Reuven's out of luck in that case. What about Shamulali Isha? Okay, what about if a woman collected a field, the Intsiba, and now she gets married? So she gets married, she collected a field, now that field is nichse melug by her husband. If the field is nichse melug by her husband, can Reuven go now and take it away when he gets cash and take the field back from the husband? Or shamu minadisha, the opposite. What if the woman is the loiva and they take away a field from her, and now the husband wants to come and say, hey, I have the cash, I want to buy my wife's field back from the malva. So in all these cases, we said it more in Ksumas, the relationship between husband and wife in terms of the transfer of the property of Nixte Melug is a lekech. And therefore, just like we said, when Reuven's field is lost to the Malva, then the Malva sells it Reuven cannot get it from the lekeach. Here also, the husband has a din like a lekeach. And the same thing, the opposite. If the husband wants to go collect the field of the isha back, he can't. He's just a lekeach. He's not a yerush. And therefore, lekeach avi loy mahader loy majunale. He doesn't get it back, but he also can't take it back. We had a special bezdin in Usha. The husband is considered the first lekuach. He's not a yerush. He's a lekuach. And therefore, if she sells it, he can claim it was always my field because I was the first lekuach. So we see that's the nature of his relationship. What about if the person does not go to bezdin? The leiva on his own goes to the malva and says, I don't have money to pay you back. Take my field. Doesn't go to bezdin, nothing. Just volunteers his field up. So, in that case, when the leiva gets cash, he can come get the field back. It's worse. In this case, he cannot get the field back. What's the machlekes? By the leiva giving up his field to the malva, he made a sale. When you take it away from him against his will, we can debate. He didn't really want it, and therefore Chazal said, over here, he voluntarily gave up his field. So it's a closed sale, no going back. No, he did not really want to give it. The reason he agreed to give it, he didn't want to have to go to Bezdin and get embarrassed in Bezdin, so he agreed to give it up. But really, the Levi did not want to give up his field, and therefore he still applied the halacha of Asisa Yashavatoiv. If the Levi comes up with the money, we let him buy his field back. In that case, where the Levi gives up his field, Bezdin forces the Levi to give the field up. When does it become the Malva's field? There's actually three stages. They wait, they prosecute him to see if he's going to come up with the cash. Then they write an ad karasa, which is a collection document. Then they have to sign and deliver the collection document to the Malva. And then, as we see in the Gemara in Erechin, they have to wait 90 days to determine the price and the value of the Levi's fields so they can get a good price for it when the Malva collects it. So when is the Malva allowed to start eating the fruits of the field? So it says the Gemara Tzmachleikis. Meim Esayach Opeira. Ravar Mechimata Ad Kurasa Liyadeh. As soon as he gets the shtar. Abayam Ar-Edim Chasmud Zakalai. He doesn't even have the shtar. Once the Edim sign on it, the Malva hears about that. He's allowed to start eating from the Loivis field. Ravar Mechishim Loi Me'achrasa. No, he's not allowed to eat the prepares of the field until he actually takes control of the field, which is 90 days later after Bezdin determines the value of the price of the field. That's the mission. Important sugya. Haseicher Par Mechaver. If you rent a parah, or in our vernacular, rent a car, okay? V'shila lacher, and now you lend it out b'sha'ela to somebody else. Well, how, are you allowed to do this or not? We'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. But you do. V'mesa kedarka, and now the animal dies on its own. Okay, so what happens over here? The seicher is putter to the balabayas. A seicher is putter on mesa kedarka, right? He's not chayav in that. But a shayel is chayav on mesa kedarka. A shayel is only putter if it's mesa machmas balacha. If it just dies, ba'ainis, a shayel is chayv anayinsin. So you have a funny situation over here, which is Reuven borrowed a cow from Shimon, okay? Borrowed it from Shimon and lent it now to Levi. When the animal dies, says the Mishnah, yishaba seicher shemesa kedarka. So Reuven goes to Shimon and says, it died. Sorry, I'm a seicher. I swear it died on its own. I'm putter. Vashayel yisham leseicher, says the Tanakama. Now Levi, as a shayel, is going to have to pay to Reuven. Reuven's going to make money off the cow that he rented from somebody else. And he does not have to give that money back to the original owner. That's a funny situation. And he's considered the owner on the chayfet. The Gemara will explain. Amar Yesi. Kate said, Allah, he says, Scharba, Prasa Shachaveri. That's crazy, he says. And you rented my cow and you're making money off of it? No. If you somehow can collect that money from the shayel, you have to give that money back to me. Ela taxa para labayla. The para, in this case, the value of the para, goes back from the shayel to the seicher. Says Rabbi Yossi, the seicher has to give it back to the original owner. Says, well, what's the issue? Some levi dibar on labayla. Michti. Seicher b'maykan elai para. L'chayra. When the animal dies, so the seicher at that point owes money. When does he become putter? When he makes a shvua that it happened by itself. It was mesa kedark. B'shvua. So you need the shvua to trigger the patur. So if that's the case, why don't you say, v'nemele maskele secher, dal adno, v'dal shvua secher. So the original owner should say to the secher, I don't want your shvua. I don't want to have anything to do with your shvua. V'anam b'shtabina din about his shayel. I'm just going to go directly to the shayel. I don't, no, it's really the secher's chayef. Elamai, when he makes a shvua, he becomes putter. Forget your shvua. I don't want your shvua. I'm going to go directly to deal with the other guy. Right? Like, Shibuta Durav Nasin. You bought it from me. You took it from me. And you let it to somebody else. I'm going to go directly to the end guy. I don't want your shvua. And the Chariz says, that's really Rabbi Yossi's svar. Rabbi Yossi, you argued on the Tanakhama, says this svar. He says, why do you have to deal with the middleman? Forget the middleman. And Amalei, he says, no, I'll tell you, Pshat Nechacham. Chacham said, Mi savet seicher b'shvua de kanilei, b'shas misu de kanilei. As soon as the animal dies, assuming that actually died by itself. He didn't wasn't Pesheah. Automatically he's Potter. It's not the Pesheah, he's Chayiv. And he becomes Potter when you make a Shvuah. He's Potter, Iker Adin. You're Potter. The Soicher is Potter. How do you verify it? Okay, you need a Shvuah to verify it, fine. But he's Potter, Iker Adin. And therefore the Soicher says, my deal with you is over. The Shvuah is just to make you feel good. But Lamaisa, I'm Potter Lechatchila. And once I'm Potter Lechatchila, the fact that I go make money off this deal later on has nothing to do with the original owner. Fascinating story. So I'm Reb Zera. So it says Reb Zera, based on this halacha, let's focus on the Tanakama's version, where we said that Reuven can actually make money off Shimon's animal. You can have a really funny story. You can have like this. Pamim Shabaylim Shalman Kama Paras L'Seicher. What about the following situation? Remember, Reuven and Shimon, okay? Shimon is the owner of the animal. Reuven is renting it. It could have a situation, says Reb Zera, like a funny Gemara kind of case, where Shimon, the owner of the animal, is going to have to pay Reuven, the renter, multiple animals. Which is backwards, of course, right? Obviously, normally, Reuven, the renter, pays the owner of the animal. I can think of a case where it's backwards. What's the case? Like this. Hechi dami. Agrimine mea yoima. So Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I want to rent your cow for 100 days. Okay, so Reuven is a renter now for 100 days. He does this at 8 o'clock in the morning. Shimon says, no problem, signs the deal, how much is it going to cost? Done. Signed. The Hadar Shalim and Atish Newman comes 2 hours later. Shimon calls up and says, listen, situation changed. I need my animal back. Can I borrow it from you for 90 days? This is the owner of the animal is borrowing back his own animal. He says, I'm going to keep it for 90 days, and then you'll get it back 10 days at the end. Okay, Reuven says, sure, no problem. Then, 2 hours later, Reuven calls back to him and says, look, I know you borrowed it back from me after I rented it. My situation changed. I really, really need it now. I'll pay you extra. Rent it back to me. Rent it back to me from the Shela. 80 days out of that Shela. 90 days. Hadar Agamine, Tamna Yuma, Vahadar, 80, so it's 90, 100, 90, 80, Vahadar Shalim and Shimon Yuma. And then again, Shimon comes and says, okay, situation changed again. I need now to borrow this animal back from you for 70 days. Okay, so all things being equal, assuming everything, nobody died, no animals died, the animal now would stay by Shimon, the original owner, for 70 days, and then he would give it back to Reuven for 10 days, then he would take it back for 10 days, then he would give it back for 10 days, so each one would get the time that he agreed. But now the animal dies, kedarka, when it's in the hands of Shimon. Now, it died. So now, how do you look at this case? So it says, it's a funny case. If you look at it this way, you say, look, Shimon, forget the fact that he was the owner of the animal. Shimon borrowed an animal from Reuven. The animal died, he has to pay. Now he borrowed the same animal twice. And he has to give it back twice. And he doesn't have the animal because it died. He's got to pay Reuven two animals, which is an amazing halacha when you think about it, which means you're telling me that when a shomer pays for the animal that dies, he's not paying for the hefsid that he caused, because he definitely only caused one hefsid. It's a din. The din is a shomer is chayav to pay. Whether I caused you a loss, didn't cause you a loss, doesn't matter. In this case, he's a shayel twice on the same animal, and it died, he made the shaylasa in those first few days. Shimon has to pay him four animals, Rashi says. Two animals he has to give to Reuven that Reuven owns, and two other animals he has to give to Reuven, each for 10 days for the schiras that Reuven was supposed to have. Right? There was 20 extra days, two sets of schirases that Reuven was not now. There was two extra schirases that Reuven had to have over here, and therefore Shimon has to give Reuven two animals that Reuven keeps for the Sheila aspect, and Tanakama said, you don't have to give those back to Shimon, because Reuven's allowed to make money off Shimon's animal, and two extra animals each for 10 days to be mamali those days. That's Rav Zera's chap. Good chap. Says the Gemara, Amalei Vachami Difti. Vachami Difti said, what are you talking about, Lavina? Michti. Chadapari. All very cute. Here's one animal. This whole shtick is one animal. Aile v'afka. Afka mischiris v'aile shela. Afka mischela v'aile mischiris. It's just one animal going back and forth. If it's one animal going back and forth, you can't tell me the shayla is chayv two animals. It's the same animal. It's just one asek going back and forth. And therefore, the way Rashi explains it, what he's saying here is, Shimon would have to pay Reuven one animal for the Sheila, plus one second animal for the Schiris. He definitely has to give him a second animal for the extra Yemei Schiris, but not two and two. Amaleu mi isa lapar v'ened d'neim achi. He says, no, I disagree with you. If the animal was here, you're right. The animal's not here. If the animal's not here, then I can actually charge him again and again and again for each Sheila. Marbar Vashi agrees with Ravacha's approach. It's only one animal, but he says this far a little differently. Ein lo yaleh ele shtei paras, two animals. Chodah de sheilasa v'chodah de schiras. Because shum sheila achasi v'shum shchira achasi. that the whole she'ela is one big she'ela, even though he barred it twice, once the first time for 90 days and the second time for 70 days. But the mice, it's one she'ela and it's one schiris. And when Reuven rented it back, the 100, the 80, etc., it's all one big schiris. The she'ela koni legamri, the she'ela one, Reuven gets to keep that animal, of course, when he gets it back. And the schiris, avi by mischasim adlei marhiki, he uses it for the extra 20 days, whatever it is, however many yimei schiris were left over after all this huddling, and he gives it back. So, we have a machlokes here. Reb Zera says you can actually make money off a she'ela twice. Two separate she'elas, not one, two separate she'elas. Each one you're going to have to pay a full animal, and for each schiris you have to give a second animal. Whereas, Rav Acha bar Yehuda, and Rav Ashi says, no, you look at it as one big deal, and if it's one big deal, yes, according to Tanakhama, for sure, you can make money off the she'ela that you could do, but only once, not twice. And you can make money off the schiris, you get the schiris, but you get one animal, because it's really just the same schiris over and over. Okay.